T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now, the Schneider Orange Hotline, our guy Adam McCalvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. Brock Holt Day. Happy Brock Holt Day.
Happy Brock Holt Day. There is so much to get to. First and foremost, yesterday Mark Attanasio says they were operating in the red. Now, when he says this, there's a lot of speculation. Does that mean the Brewers as an entire franchise lost money last year? Or does it mean baseball operations were in the red with after revenue sharing, they still made money? I mean, did we get the breakdown of all of this so we know kind of, because there's a lot of feelings where if this is a franchise that spends $125 million to try to compete and they're operating in the red, well, then how legitimately can they really compete in baseball?
Well, that's the problem in baseball right now, and that's the challenge for small market teams. And no, we didn't get that breakdown, and teams are not going to open their books. They don't do it. They're private companies. They're not public entities that their financial information is available, and we're not going to get it. They operated it at a loss last year, and, you know, I'm no accountant. The day before we learned I'm no economist when I had to write about Miller Park impact studies, but I do know the difference between a capital expense and an operational expense. And I can say that the people say, well, yeah, obviously they were at a loss because they spent $60 million on this new spring training facility. That's separate. They operated at a loss in terms of the baseball operation. And they operated at a loss even when you include that $60 million expenditure on the ballpark. So, but look, I don't have the details. If they release their books, I would still take an accountant to read it. People who want the full breakdown and they want to see exactly line for line where they spent and where they lost, they're not going to get it. The two things that I would say I think are important to know, number one is he answered that question because he was asked it. He didn't, for example, walk out there and say, hi, guys, how are you doing? Well, we operated at a loss last year, as if he's trying to cry poor. I asked him that question directly because I've gotten so much prodding from people that want to hear him directly address that question. So that's his answer. And the other thing I would say that was important when you see his answer is his second sentence there in that one clip was, you know, they look at it as a rolling matter from year to year. And they say that they did operate in the red last year, but that is not true of every year, certainly, that he's been the owner. So, and that's sort of the point. And you know, I think they've been pretty clear on that, but they're going to operate this as a sustainable business that is not, they are not going to put themselves in a position where they are strapped for cash, where they have to strip down payroll to keep the business alive. They're not going to put themselves in that position, and that is why, you know, this year's payroll is lower than last year's. Those are the two things I thought were important to sort of point out as people dissect the rest of that statement.
The other aspect of things business-wise that I wanted to talk about, I heard you give a great explanation the other day regarding Josh Hader not winning the arbitration hearing. And while it seemed like the Brewers, or at least their perception was, why over a couple million bucks are you going to, you know, kind of do this to a guy who has done so much for the franchise, you had a really good explanation. And it necessarily wasn't the Brewers against Josh Hader. It's the numbers in which they chose as the system then views you, correct?
Yeah, well, look, the way I look at it is it is really the Players Association against Major League Baseball, because all teams and all arbitration-eligible players work with those entities to come up with the numbers that they're going to submit, but the numbers that they are going to file for in arbitration. And then they build a case, literally a trial in front of a 3-judge panel in which they argue for that specific number. And in Josh Hader's case, it was Hader going for the record for a first-year arbitration-eligible reliever. And it was the Brewers using Jurius Familia, a couple of years ago with the Mets, who had one year as the full-time closer, and he had the exact same number of career saves as Josh Hader. So that's where those numbers came from. They were not plucked out of thin air. It's not Josh Hader being greedy. It is not the Brewers nickel and diming. It is the Players Association and Major League Baseball working with, you know, either side, separate from each other, to come up with a number that they believe is defensible in a trial. So I really think that this arbitration is such a murky system because we don't get to, you know, we're not allowed in the hearing room. The rules of the thing are very complex and hard to understand. The comps are very complex, and unless you usually have some help, it's really hard to come up with them on your own. And it's this murky system. And I feel like in every city where there's a player and a team that has a difference of opinion on this value, we have this discussion about why is the team nickel and diming, or why is this player being greedy? And that's really, I think, a misunderstanding of the system. The system itself sort of stinks, and nobody likes it. And it leads to these confrontations between players and teams. But that is just the system as it's constructed. And maybe they'll change it. Maybe they'll get rid of it. I don't know how that will happen in future CBAs, but it's the system as it exists now. And players and teams both know that this is business. And I think fans get more upset and carry a harder feelings about this than the players or the teams. For them, it's the system as it is. They go through it. The salary is set. And then you sort of go out and play baseball.
Now, getting back to the, you know, the business side of baseball, what Mark Attanasio was expressing, it also sounded to me like, hey, if they've got room to add somebody mid-season or they need to make a deal and they're going to take on salary, he's not saying no to that if they're right there, right?
Well, I mean, he went further than that yesterday, and he said he's never said no to a player because of cost. Now, then he brought up the Yasmani Grandal as not necessarily an example of a player he said no to, but where that price just went beyond where the Brewers wanted to go. 4 years, $73 million. They felt like they could direct those resources elsewhere. But that sounds like the one player that sort of, you know, that they really wanted to re-sign that they couldn't re-sign for financial reasons. But, you know, he made the point again that not like they set a budget number. He says that payroll did not come down by edict, that it was all based on circumstances of the market, what players were available, where the Brewers saw value, and the idea that they wanted to leave themselves flexibility to make moves going forward. So Brock Holt, for example, the player David Stearns tells us they were on from day one of the offseason. When they were making decisions about Travis Shaw, they were already talking to Brock Holt. So It must have been that his ask was higher than the Brewers wanted to go. They kept the lines of communication open. Brock Holt didn't get, say, a two-year deal maybe that he wanted, or the salary for 1 year that he wanted, and he comes to the Brewers here after the start of spring training. And I think the idea is their strategy is to leave the door open to deals like that so that they can pounce on opportunity rather than max out the payroll and put themselves in an uncomfortable position on the 1st of January in a market, by the way, where the prices were way higher than they've been in recent seasons, a much more frothy market, as Mark Attanasio said in the term of the spring so far, and then not be locked out of deals like this one that they made with Brock Holt. So, look, I mean, as a fan, you can agree or disagree with that strategy, but it's obviously the strategy that they've decided to adopt, that they want to keep some flexibility to be able to pounce on opportunities and to fill needs as they come up as the season goes on.
So give me your thoughts as everybody's now in camp. Like you said, they've had a signing. They've got depth overall. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, look, depth is the boring word, but it is the way to describe this team. And Craig Counsell put it this way this morning, and it really, I think he's right. This position player group is starting to look like the pitchers of the last couple of years. Last year, for the first time ever, the Brewers didn't have a single ERA qualifier. They didn't have a single pitch. You have to pitch in one inning per team game to qualify for the ERA title. And the Brewers didn't have a single guy get to 162 innings. And now you start looking at the position player group, and it's looking like the same way. I mean, I think we're used to some positional versatility. But, I mean, there's a chance now that they go into the year and they have a lot of guys get a lot of at-bats. This is the way Council put it. We could have a lot of guys get a lot of at-bats, but only a very few guys get like a lot of at bats, 600 at bats, you know, 750 plate appearances. That could be Yelich, maybe Keston Hiro, although maybe not. Maybe Lorenzo Cain if he's healthy, although they're going to guard him against injury to try to keep him really strong at the end of the season. So I think there's going to be just tons of moving parts, and maybe they have way more 300 or 400 at-bat players than in years past, but fewer 600 at-bat players. And it sort of is the way that they've approached the pitching in recent years. And the Brewers think they pitched the ball pretty well. Again, that's another thing I'm sure that some fans out there probably take issue with, but the Brewers think that they've performed pretty well as a pitching staff, especially late in seasons when they've been pushing for postseason spots.
I mean, I like the depth of the team. I think that they've got some versatility. I just, you've got Christian Yelich. You're hoping, obviously, he plays well, and you're hoping that Lorenzo Cain bounces back and Keston Hiura keeps it up. And, you know, I mean, I think there's a couple of guys with a lot of pressure. I think Sogard's got pressure. I think that Orlando Arcia has a lot of pressure. Also, I think, you know, Ryan Braun to perform over at first base and still keep his offensive numbers up. There's some pressure there as well. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, they are going to be a team that things have to go right. For them to be the sort of team that they think they are, that their internal projections, again, have them being as good or better as they were last year. And for that to happen, they're certainly going to need things to go right. And that's Keston Hiura taking a step. That's Adrian Hauser taking a step. It's, as you say, Eric Sogard being the hitter he was last year, not the hitter he was when he last wore a Brewers uniform. But that is the kind of team that they are, that this franchise is going to be in that position because they – you know, they're not going to be able to make these huge moves for these established mega free agents. You know, again, that's something I'm sure fans will want to debate. But the Brewers say they're not going to get into that market. And if they're not going to get into the market for Gerrit Cole and Anthony Rendon, they're going to have to do it sort of with a group effort with depth, which maximizing matchups in games. On the pitching side and the hitting side, and that is the way this team is built right now. And again, they think they're going to be good. They think they're going to exceed the expectations of those who look at this team on paper and say, no way is it as good as it was last year. No way is it as good as 2018 or 2011 or 2008. They think they're good, and I don't know. All I can say is the games are about to start, and everybody's going to get to see who's right.
Always good, Adam. Keep doing what you're doing. I'll talk to you again next week, and I'll also see you in a couple of weeks, okay?
All right. See you, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. By the way, you can find him on Twitter, at Adam McAlvey, there. Go to SchneiderJobs.com to see more about Schneider and our good friends over there who bring you the Schneider Orange Hotline, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.